Blog Talk Radio.
Daytona International Speedway. Redefined everything 30. 30-second stereo radio. HISC 0100.
The Daytona 500. It's the race that defines legends. And as the world's only motorsports stadium, Daytona International Speedway is the place that redefines what a race can be. You can experience it all and witness the next career-defining NASCAR moment at the Great American Race. But hurry, the 2016 race sold out, so don't miss out in 2017. The Daytona 500, Sunday, February 26th. Guarantee your seats at 1-800-PIT-SHOP or Daytona500.com.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Live from Talladega, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Live from Dega Nation, I'm Tim DeSpain. Stephen Wilson has the night off alongside of my sweet daughter wife, Suzanne DeSpain, handling the phones tonight. And let's go ahead and bring a good friend, Reverend Joe, the official reverend of the Pit Stop, Tim DeSpain, and Stephen Wilson into the Pit Stop and get everything going, get them tested. Let's bring Reverend Joe. Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight?
I think I'm doing okay. I still got a pulse, so I guess I'm doing all right.
You sound good, bro.
I was outside.
You sound real good.
I'm glad. You're sounding pretty well yourself. But
well, thank
again,
you very much. I'm feeling a lot better, Reverend. Thank you.
That's good to hear. See that there's a lot of odds and ends going on out there in NASCAR land, but nothing too major. Looks like we're losing a couple of teams, and that means we'll probably gain a couple of teams, so who knows?
Yeah, you're right, Reverend. You know, it is silly. Well, you know, silly season sort of started before the season ended, but now we're showing us silly season. We got a lot of stuff going on, bud.
Well, 2 years ago, silly season started in July. This year, waited until much later, and now I think it's getting silly again, but it's okay. It's a good thing.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Well, shall I get this thing started for you so I can get back out in the cold and see if I can't get
yes,
the rest of the RV done? It's got to be winterized. Anyway.
Yes, sir.
Silly idea. All righty. Lord, we come before you today, and we thank you so much for all you do. And as we look forward to the day we celebrate your son Jesus Christ's birth, we know he existed long before the time began, but he came to earth as a human being in order to save us so that we would have an entrance into heaven. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we thank you for making it so easy that all we need to do is believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we'll be saved. So on that note, we ask you in the name of Jesus to bless all our friends, all those that are out there that are struggling with illnesses, all our friends that are struggling with loss, and there's been too many of them this year. Please, Lord, comfort them all. And know as we come into this holiday season, it gets everybody that doesn't have great things to celebrate real depressed. And your message to them is don't be distressed because you're still on the throne and nothing's really changed. So be with us. Bless our nation, bless everyone involved with NASCAR and all kinds of racing all over the country. We've got racing right down here in California at Paris Auto Speedway They got a winter series for late models and modifieds and street stocks and all kinds of stuff. Last weekend they had a big event. So I know there's a lot of stuff still going on. So please bless all of them. Give them a good time and keep them safe. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff. Great invocation as always, and I know you got some stuff you got to get out. You got a winter ride, motorhome there, but Reverend, let everybody know whether they can follow you at on social media and your website.
All righty, thank you. Our website is ontrackwithjesus.org, and my email address is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com, and you can call my number anytime at 951-232-7630. Follow us on Facebook at Rev Joe Bubico, which is B-U-B-B-I-C-O. And follow us there. Holler at us there. Give me and Miss Betty a shout.
Sounds good, Reverend. Tell Miss Betty, Suzanne, and I said hello, and I will speak for Stephen and Anne-Marie and the boys also. You have a good evening, and we will talk to you next Tuesday night. That will be our show right before Christmas. We're going to try to do a big deal there. If you'd like to stay on with Stephen and I, guest to be announced. We're going to see what we can do there. But if you'd like to stay on a little bit later, if you'd like to plan on next Tuesday night, maybe staying on a little bit, our show right before Christmas, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about, bud.
All righty, good deal. I will talk to you guys then. God bless y'all.
God bless you too, Reverend. We'll talk to you later, bud.
Take care.
That's the Reverend of our show there, Mr. Reverend Joe, out there on the left coast. I call it left coast. We got a big show tonight. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. I'm Tim Despain. Stephen Wilson has the night off. Daughter and wife Suzanne Despain is handling the phones. We have young driver out of Florida, Miss Brooke Storr. She's been on the show before. But at this time, let's take a little short break before we bring Brooke on. We're live from Dega Nation. I'm Tim Despain. And Stephen Wilson has a night off, like I keep saying. We'll be right back shortly.
Wrong little corner, this old cold world just got a little warm. rest of my life, I'm gonna hold you in my arms. And when they carve my stone, all they need to write on it is, once lived a man who got all he ever wanted. Tell me something, who could ask for more than to be living in a moment you would die for? Get rich on what money can buy. It don't matter to me. I'll tell you why. I've got it all when I'm holding you this way. I live to love you. I die to keep you safe inside these arms that need you. I'll be loving you with the very last breath I take. And when they carve my stone, all they need to write on it is, once lived a man who got all he ever wanted. Tell me something, who could ask for more than to be living in a moment you would die for? Ashes to
Hi, I'm Cameron Haley, driver number 13, with Tay Tundra for Thor Sport Racing and the Camping World Truck Series. You're listening to the Pit Stop Radio with Tim Despain.
We're back live from Dega Nation. I'm Tim Despain. Again, Stephen Wilson has the night off. The darn wife, Suzanne, is handling the phone lines. And I see my good friend, Todd Bigby. I hadn't talked to Todd in a while. I don't know where he's been. Let's bring Todd.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Todd, where you been hiding, my friend? I ain't heard hide hair out of you in a while, bud.
Sorry, bud. I took a road trip, a 2-week road trip, went 1,000 miles. Now I'm trying to stay inside where it's warm.
Yeah, it's a little bit cold up here. You got any snow, Todd?
Yeah, we got 4 inches underground, and we got another big storm coming starting tomorrow afternoon.
Ooh, yeah, I talked to my good friend Stan Creekmore, one of my good media guys, the other day, and he said he's right off of Lake Erie there. They had 5 inches the other day, and they had some more coming too. So I guess that's just the nature of the beast living up there in the north, ain't it, Todd?
You know, that's pretty funny you said that, because I'm right on the edge of Lake Erie.
Well, you're right there beside my good friend, Stan Creekmore. Yeah, Stan's a real good friend of mine. He's a good media guy. We talk a lot and exchange stories. Todd, we got Brooke Storer coming on here in a few minutes. Well, I think we've had her on, I don't know how long ago it's been. I think you might have talked to her, but this past Friday, we had some breaking news coming out of BK Racing. Mr. Ron Devine. This is Ron Devine BK Racing statement regarding Matt DiBenedetto. Our 33rd and 34th place finishers this year did not produce the results we were hoping to achieve. I am, however, very proud of Matt DiBenedetto and his many accomplishments over the past 2 years. He is a wonderful driver and a special person. I am confident that Matt will go on to be a very successful NASCAR driver, and I believe it is the right time to release him from his contract so that he can pursue other opportunities. Just like Matt mentioned on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, he was going to pursue other opportunities. This is a quote. This is still Ron talking. Myself and everyone at BK Racing wishes Matt all the best in his future endeavors. I am looking forward to much success from both Matt and BK Racing. That's from Matt, from Ron Devine. That's about Matt DiBenedetto. I don't know if you heard that, Todd.
Yeah. Just like with Casimir going out. Some big changes for next year.
Yeah, we got a lot going on, Todd. And then not long after that, Ron released another statement. BK Racing has agreed not to renew David Reagan's contract for the next year. This is a quote from Ron Devine, owner of BK Racing. Everyone wishes David the best of luck in his career. BK Racing will continue to restructure as an ongoing effort to improve our on-track performance in the NASCAR Monster Energy Premier Series, and we will be announcing our 2017 driver lineup in the near future. Then he goes on again to put hashtag NASCAR. And, Todd, you know, me and Steven have been texting back and forth. This is just out of speculation to our listeners. Greg Biffle said earlier that he would not return to Roush Fenway. I mean, you know, do you think it could be possible that Ron might could pursue Greg Biffle, Todd?
Yeah, it's very possible. I mean, the man is trying to change things around to try to improve his team. And nothing against the drivers he had, because they were good drivers. So I think with Biffle being open, Casey Mears being open, there might be some possibilities.
You never know, Todd. You never know. But, Todd, we've got our guest. Let's bring her on. Driver of a number 9 sportsman and 6-time champion. Land of the Lakes, Florida's own Brooke Storer into the pit stop. Where's my button? Hold on, Brooke. I'm bringing you on. Hold on. Let me find my button.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Brooke, how you doing tonight? Sorry about that. I couldn't find my button.
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a while since we had you on. I want to thank you for taking time out to come on. Steven Wilson from SpeedwayDigest.com has tonight off. My good friend Todd Bisbee from upstate New York, his home track is Watkins Glen International. He's agreed to come on and maybe ask a few questions. Brooke, how's everything going down there in Florida?
Oh, everything's been wonderful this year.
Well, good, good. And, Brooke, can you talk a little bit about, I think we talked to you a couple of years ago. I'm sorry, I can't remember. I'm getting old. My mind's going blank. Can you let our listeners know a little bit about how you got started in the racing? Did you start in, like, go-karts, bandoleros, dirt? Can you talk a little bit about that?
I started off in dirt go-karts, and we ran that for about 6 years, and then we moved up into pro trucks for late models and now into the sportsman.
And, Brooke, you talk about sportsman. You're actually running a sportsman on asphalt now, correct?
Yes, it's like our outlaw. We can run the wedge bodies and stuff like that. So it's not the normal ABC, the super late model body. We can run kind of like what they run up in Michigan with the outlaw style car.
Exactly. And, Brooke, you do a lot of racing there at New Smyrna Speedway, correct?
I ran there one time over at Governor's Cup last year. Unfortunately,
okay,
we haven't been able, with our schedule this year, a lot of their races had fallen on point snipes that I ran over here in the central Florida, so we weren't able to make it over there anytime this year, unfortunately.
Yeah. And, Brooke, you know, like I said, Steve and I, we normally keep up with the top-tier series, you know, NASCAR and stuff, but I tried to keep up with some of the Snowball Derby. Did you attend the Snowball Derby, and did you race in the Snowball Derby? I can't remember. I didn't keep up much on it.
I unfortunately did not get to race in the Snowball Derby, but I was up there helping a local team from down here. And there was a few people that I know that went up there and raced, and what they call our cars up there are super stock. And so a bunch of people that I race with every week were able to run up there, but we were planning on racing that was going to be a points night for us at DeSoto Speedway. It was going to be for the championship. So our car was pretty much set up, ready to go for that. And then about a week before the Derby, they canceled that race. And so we weren't able to get everything converted over to how Pensacola allows those cars to be. And we couldn't switch it over to all their rules. So I went up there and got to have some spotter duties and had a great time and got to see some of the best racing you'll ever see in the whole country.
And, Brooke, you've been racing now for a good little while. You race local there, and you and your family, y'all also travel. Can you talk a little bit about some of the tracks around South Florida that y'all go to, and do y'all venture out of South Florida as far as any other tracks coming toward my way, toward Talladega, you know, north?
Yeah, I've been racing since I was 8, but like I said, from the go-karts all the way to the sportsmen. And we've been staying local in Florida, such as like Citrus County Speedway, Bradenton, DeSoto Speedway. We did run Auburndale Speedway once this year, Showtime Speedway, all the local short tracks here in Florida. They don't really have our class anywhere other than they have, I think, at Cordele, Georgia. They run our class, but our car doesn't apply to other track rules and out-of-state classes.
Correct. And in your bio, Brooke, you mentioned you're a 6-time champion. Are you? Can you tell our listeners exactly what 6-time champion that you're in, what group or whatever that you won your 6 championships in?
Well, hopefully on January 28th, we can say we're 7-time champion, but I've got, I think, 4 track championships at Dirt Devil Speedway back when I was racing go-kart. This season alone, in the Wheelman, I don't know if you guys have heard of Race Car Engineering. It's a big parts store down here in Florida, and they do a lot of, they supply for a lot of parts all over the country. And they sponsored a series for us this year, and there was over 52 cars competed in it. We ended up 2nd in that. So one of the best drivers I've ever seen. He ended up winning the championship, but it was cool to finish 2nd to him. We finished 2nd this year to Citrus. I'm sorry, finished 2nd at Citrus and 4th in another traveling series. But I think that's one of the biggest accomplishments this year, and on top of my previous track championships in the go karting.
And Brooke, NASCAR has implemented, I think, over the past couple of years, it's NASCAR for diversity program where they bring these young and upcoming drivers up, and we've had a couple of them on the show. They actually, you know, you go to, I don't know what track that they go to, but they go and they run laps. It's sort of like an obstacle course through racing. They take you through media. The media drill you. Have you thought about trying to go through that, Brooke, as far as that NASCAR diversity program?
We've been thinking about it a lot this year, maybe trying to get into it for next season. I know it's a difficult program to get into, and I know, well, they already picked their group for next year, especially the Rev Racing team. So hopefully one of these upcoming years we can get something together and go try out for that. It definitely, I think, be pretty good for me.
Yeah, I think it would too, Brooke. And, Brooke, I want to throw you over to my good friend, like I said, Todd Biggs. He's filling in for Stephen Wilson tonight for SpeedwayDigest.com. His home track's Watkins Glen. And I think Todd might have a couple of questions, and I'll let him throw you back to me. Todd, go ahead, bud.
Hi, Brooke. Long time no hear from. Now, if anybody has ever watched you race, I've seen videos. I've seen pictures. What's the hardest thing for you to transition when you're going from track to track?
I love traveling. I hate staying at one track every weekend. I love traveling. I just think it makes a better race car driver, if you ask me. If you can run on these short pool rings, it's going to make it a lot easier when you get up on the half mile, such as New Smyrna, or even DeSoto, the 3/8 mile. I feel like it makes everything a little bit easier. It slows everything down a little bit so that you can pretty much know how to pass people and everything. So that's why I feel like these short tracks that we've staying at locally but still traveling through them has helped me a lot. I don't know. I have such a great race car every weekend thanks to my parents and a bunch of my crew that it makes it a lot easier for me to go from track to track.
Now, have you made any plans for next year yet?
We plan on series all over Florida.
No.
Run a few super late.
Are you there, Brooke?
Yes.
Okay. Todd, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. We must have had a little glitch in the internet. Y'all go ahead.
I thought maybe she dropped. Do you feel that you're at the next level that you'll want to move up?
I think that super late model racing is what I would love to do. Of course, if I could somehow find the sponsors to go Camping World Truck Racing, that would be absolutely amazing. But personally, with the model,
well, I'm wishing you the best and looking forward to more of your updates.
Todd, I think Brooke dropped that. That must have been her that was having problems. I see where she dropped.
Okay.
Yeah. Brooke dropped. Maybe she'll call back in and we'll let her thank her sponsors and everything. But this might be her. Suzanne's got somebody over in the screen room. Brooke must have dropped. Todd, let's take a little quick break. If we can, just to make, well, let me see what Suzanne's got going on here. This must be Brooke. She must have called back in. Hold on 1 second, Todd. This live radio is sort of hard to handle. Suzanne's doing a good job of it. There she is. Let's bring
sorry
her back
about
in.
That,
Brooke,
guys.
Is that you back? Is that
yeah,
you, Brooke?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. We understand. You would be surprised some of the stuff that happens on our radio show. But anyway, Brooke, go ahead and finish up. Brooke, go ahead and finish up there with Todd. Todd, I don't know if you finished up with it. Go ahead, bud.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's part of technology. have you made plans, start making plans for next year?
Yeah, I would love to run some super late mile races and, of course, stay with the sports model. Try to get as many races in as next year as we possibly can. I know this past season we ran just about every weekend, but anywhere 2-3 weeks out of every month. That's what I want to continue doing.
Well, I'm wishing you the best of luck and looking forward to many more of your updates. Hey, Tim.
Brooke, are you there? Yeah, I got
yes,
you, Todd. Can you hear me, Brooke? Can you hear me, Brooke? Brooke's in and out. I can hear her phone in and out. Can you hear me now, Brooke? Yeah, she dropped again. Maybe she'll call back in. Todd, let's take a little quick break.
I got Stephen Woodson has a night off. Got my good friend Todd Bigsby beside him tonight. We're live from Dega Nation. We're going to take a little quick break. We will be right back live from Talladega shortly.
Well, it's a long way to Richmond, rolling north on 95. With a redhead riding shotgun and a pistol by my side. Tearing down that highway like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde.
Burton, driver of the number 12 Dex Imaging Toyota Camry, and you're listening to Pit Stop with Tim Despain.
We're back live from Dega Nation. I'm Tim Despain alongside of Todd Bisbee, and I think we got Brooke Storer back. Land O'Lakes, Florida's own Brooke Store. Brooke, we got you back, haven't we?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay. All right. All right, Brooke. Todd, do you have anything else for Brooke? Do you have any last questions for her?
No, I just want to say good luck to your racing season and looking forward to many more updates from you.
Well, thank you.
Brooke, I know Todd might have mentioned, I have maybe one or two questions if you got a minute. I know Todd might have mentioned, or I heard you and Todd talking about you might want to maybe get in a NASCAR Camper World Truck Series deal there. And have you had anybody contact you, or have you sort of thrown your name out there to, which, you know, now the way it is, Brooke, it's not really getting a ride. It's if you got a sponsor, they want you to bring it with you, correct?
Yeah, I've been contacted by a few teams, and the price that they want is absolutely outrageous. So I know we couldn't just cut a check that big. So I'd have to find a bunch of big sponsors and to make that possible.
Exactly. And Brooke, I know we kept you longer than you agreed to stay on, and I apologize for the technical difficulties. But Brooke, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, and thank your sponsor.
Yeah, you can always find me on Facebook, Brooke Store, and also on Brooke Store Motorsports, on Instagram at BrookeS9, and also on Twitter at BrookeStore9. And I would really like to thank both my parents for all the hard work they put into this and never given up on me. Studio 10, Arthur Petty, big thanks to him. Webster Race Cars, without those guys, we wouldn't be able to race next year. And they've helped us out this whole season. But, yeah, of course, especially my parents. I mean, they do everything they possibly can and take time out of their day to make sure that my race car is ready to go. And it's definitely a family thing, so that's what I enjoy about it.
And, Brooke, again, like I said earlier, thank you again for taking time out to come on the show. Don't be a stranger. Like Todd said, good luck in 2017. Let us know when you come back on the show. We'll work you in. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. That was Brooke Store out of Land O'Lakes, Florida. Todd, young lady got a lot of promise. And I think she can drive a hell out of a damn race car, Todd. I mean, I've sort of seen some of the stuff she's accomplished. She's pretty daggone good.
Yeah, she's a young lady that I got to give a lot of credit to. And, you know, I keep up on her and seeing what she's doing. And she's one that I definitely keep my eye on, because when she hits big time, it's going to be amazing.
You got that right. You got that right, Todd. And, Todd, I want to thank you for coming on and filling in for Stephen Wilson. But, Todd, just want to get your I want to play the Rick Hendrick and Dale Jr. teleconference. It's about 30 minutes, but I want all of our listeners to hear this whole deal that they might not have had a chance to listen to. It's a pretty good teleconference. But, Todd, right quick, you know, you can stay on and listen, but what is your take on Dale Earnhardt Jr. coming back? I mean, the doctors released him after he run that they were at Darlington Speedway up there. My good friend Kerry Thorpe, president up there now. The doctor, I can't remember his name, but they released him to come back in 2017. So he will be racing the 2017 Daytona 500. What's your thoughts on Dale Earnhardt Jr. coming back? I know the doctor released him, but, you know, he's got the passion. He's going to race. He realizes if something happens, you know, he might not possibly be racing again. Just talk a little bit about that if you can, Todd.
Well, you know, with this year, with you know, with the concussions, granted the doctor okayed you to come back, and just he's already done practicing pit stops at Hendrick Motorsports. He's already been back in the car. I think as long as your mindset is back where it should be, I think he'd turn out pretty. It would be a good year for him. But, you know, your mind has to be there,
focusing right on it.
Exactly, Todd. And back in the day, I'm not going to call my age, but I had one concussion back in the day, and it, I think Dale Jr., don't quote me on this, and listeners, don't quote me on this, either. I think he said either two or three, possibly four, I don't know, but I had one back in the day when I was in middle school, and it's a really, really weird feeling, and I definitely understand what he's going through, Todd, and you make a real good point. I mean, you know, he understands the risk of stepping into a race car even without having three or four concussions. The race car driver knows what possibly could happen to him, but now he's at more of a high risk. So, I mean, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., he's a grown man. He's going to do what he wants to, correct, Todd?
Yep. And, you know, Tim, I got a really good question for you that maybe you might be able to answer. Well, on my trip, of course, I wear my crew shirts when I'm out traveling, so I look good. I happen to have this young fan. He's probably about 8. He came up to me and asked me, he goes, "Now, you're a race fan." I'm like, "Yup." He goes, "How is it with all the safety stuff they have in a car? How can the driver still get a concussion?" I said, "You know what?" I said, "That's a very good question." I said, "I have to ask some of my buddies on how to answer that."
That's a real good question, Todd. And I'm not a doctor, but I'm gonna try to answer it full stability. You know, a few years back, NASCAR moved what they called the cocoon, the driver's seat, a little bit more toward the center. And there's so much padding. You got the Hans device. You got the safer barriers. But it's still, you know, your head can move left to right. It's not going to hit the steering wheel. You're not going forward. You're not going to get that forward whiplash. Now, this is just me thinking, Todd. I don't know. I'm not a doc. But if you hit hard enough, and if your head hits that cushion, I mean, it's still that quick whoop-pow, either the right or the left. And from what I understand, a concussion is a bruising of the brain. It sort of moves the brain a little bit. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm not a doctor, but that would be my best answer to your question. And it might not be right, Todd.
Well, you know, they showed you in car cams during the race and during the wreck, if you look at the driver, he does move around quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no way to keep him completely constrained to that seat. And, I mean, you know, they've come a long way since back in the 80s. They've come a long way. They've, you know, like I mentioned, these left and right headrests. I mean, you can only do so much to constrict that driver. And if you constrict that driver too much, if he gets into an accident where he has a fire in the vehicle, he has to be able to get out of that vehicle. You know, I mean, it's just part of the sport, Todd. I mean, that's all I can answer. And then if I answered it right, you know, if I answered it wrong, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, that's just all I can tell you. But they have to have – NASCAR, you know, like I said, they've come a long way with the safer barriers, the Hans device, the seat, the LaJoy seat. LaJoy puts a great seat in the car, and like I said, they move the cocoon, which is the driver's cocoon, over, I don't know how far, to the center of the car to get him away from that driver's side window. But you can only do so much for safety, Todd, and when you have that hard of an impact, it's going to jar your brain, and that's what causes a concussion, I think.
I agree with you 100%, buddy.
Well, thank you very much, Todd. And again, like I said, I want to thank you very much. I want to play this teleconference for everybody to listen to Mr. Hendrick and Dale Earnhardt Jr. last week when he announced that the doctors cleared him after a test at Darlington Speedway. He would be racing in the 2017 Daytona 500. Todd, thank you again. And I will come back after this interview if you want to listen. And, again, we're live from Talladega, Alabama. I'm Tim DeSpain alongside my good friend, Todd Bigby.
Good morning, everyone. Joining us on today's teleconference is Rick Hendrick, owner of Hendrick Motorsports, and Dale Earnhardt Jr., driver of the number 88 Chevrolet SS in NASCAR's Premier Series. It was announced Thursday morning that Dale has been medically cleared to resume NASCAR competition and will return at the 2017 Daytona 500. If you have a question for either Dale or Mr. Hendrick, please press star one. Dale, first off, welcome back. You tested Darlington on Wednesday, which was the final step before being medically cleared for competition. How did it feel to be back behind the wheel of a race car, and how did the test go overall from your perspective?
Well, the test, I thought, couldn't have went any better. Darlington was a great host, and NASCAR was really great to work with to put it together. I really appreciate them creating opportunities and rules for drivers in this type of situation to be able to get in a car. It really helps build your confidence to know that, you know, everything's working like it's supposed to work, no matter what your injury is, before you go get back into a full race weekend. It's nice to be able to kind of get some personal reassurance and confidence. So I was really happy to have the opportunity. We got to the racetrack. The weather was great, and we just ran laps. We put tires on, run 15 laps at a time, take about a 20-minute break. Dr. Petty was there. We did a personal evaluation before we got in the car to set a baseline, and Dr. Petty was evaluating me after each run to see if everything was good. A lot of my a lot of the things that he's checking, visual and balance and so forth, actually strengthened throughout the process. You sort of get acclimated and up to speed with what it takes to kind of drive a race car, and those systems strengthen through that process. And so rather than see them, you know, sort of flatline and stay the same, which was what I was hoping for, they actually got stronger. So that was great. I felt like throughout the day I got more and more comfortable in the car, and it felt like, you know, it felt like an old shoe by the end of the day. I was happy with the speed we had. That wasn't really the ultimate goal, but we had great speed. The car drove really, really good. And we just continued to put tires on it and go out and run 30 laps at a time, and come in and get out, think about it, talk about it, get checked out. And by the end of the day, we felt really, really confident that health-wise I was 100% and ready to get back in the car.
Thanks, Dale. Mr. Hendrick, a lot of excitement after yesterday's announcement, but what does it mean to you and to everyone here at Hendrick Motorsports to have Dale officially back in the car for next season?
Well, I mean, you know, this place, we're as big a fan of Dale as the rest of the community. When you got the most popular driver in the sport, that you know, you lose him, and he's a big spark plug to this place, and having him out of the car kind of deflates the place. And you know, when that test finished and he came through with such flying colors, and just the texts I got and the conversation I had, I mean, you could feel it in the place today when we were with the rest of the teams. It just elevated the whole place. So I think Dale being back in the car and Jimmy's championship, man, it's going to be a really nice Christmas here for all of us.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to now turn the teleconference over to our operator, Audra, who will open it up to questions.
Thank you. Again, as a reminder, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. And if you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach your equipment. Again, star one for questions. We'll go first to Claire Lang at Sirium XM NASCAR Radio.
Thank you, Dale. It's great you're coming back and that you've been cleared. And I wonder, what did you learn about yourself and your race team going through the challenges of this concussion and being gone?
Well, I learned that we got a great race team. Greg did an amazing job in a difficult situation to motivate and keep the morale up in the team. And they actually, you know, their performance actually improved with the rest of the company throughout the last half of the season. So I think that, you know, Greg gained a ton of confidence in himself and the guys, you know, the guys are real happy with how they performed and how the cars performed and the cars they took to the racetrack. So I was thrilled to see that. You know, we'd struggled in the summer and it was great to see the whole company, you know, rally together and Jimmy winning the championship. You know, it was a great feeling to go to Vegas with the whole company so excited about the future and how things kind of turned around for us throughout the year. Personally, just you know, going through that process, you learn a lot. I don't know if we got time to go over it all, but there's, you know, you certainly, you know, realize the things that you might be taking for granted and learn to appreciate a lot of different parts and aspects of your life a lot more. And I had that same kind of experience before in 2012. When you get something kind of taken away from you, you certainly realize what it's worth. And we gripe about our schedule and this and that and the other. And once you're not doing it and you're watching all your friends out there on the track and watching your crew work without you, it's really puts things into perspective and helps you kind of appreciate really what you got. So definitely feel recharged and energized about the opportunity to be able to come back and race. I felt like I had a lot left in the tank and excited about getting to Daytona. We're going to test in Phoenix, which I'm really looking forward to, oddly. And testing's kind of boring, but I'm ready to get more and more laps in the car. So I feel, you know, real confident in myself. Confidence is really critical for me to perform well. So the more I can do to help build my confidence before we go to Daytona, the better. So I'm excited.
Thanks, Dale. It's going to be great to have you back.
We'll go next to Tom Jensen at FoxSports.com.
Hi, Dale. Welcome back. With all the exercises you've done to strengthen yourself cognitively, what have the doctors told you about the possibility of additional concussions if you're in another accident? You know, will this help prevent those?
Yeah, absolutely. I worked with Mickey Collins, and we worked not only to get healthy and back to being a normal human being again, but we worked to get stronger than we were before. And I wouldn't be coming back to the seat and wanting to drive and excited about driving cars if there was any risk other than the typical risk that every driver faces on Sunday. So I feel very confident in what I've seen in myself and my improvement, and I feel confident in what my doctors are telling me about my future and the risks that I'm taking and my ability to be able to withstand the normal, you know, wear and tear of not only driving a race, but, yeah, getting in that unfortunate accident from time to time. We all feel pretty confident that not only am I as healthy as I was before the symptoms came last year, but I'm actually stronger. So having gone through this before also gives me additional confidence. It's not a, you know, this is an uncharted territory for me. So I know what I need to feel personally to know that I'm as strong as I need to be and healthy. And I'm certainly feeling that way, but I'm also hearing the affirmation from my doctors that I can go back and drive race cars.
Thanks and welcome back.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Bob Pockrass at ESPN.
Yeah, Dale, I'm curious about kind of procedures now going forward. Will you make any changes to any of your safety equipment, like your headrest or your helmet? And will you have to do anything different after a crash to make sure that you're okay to race? Like, you know, will they look at G-force data anymore or monitor you any differently than any other driver?
I don't know that NASCAR will do anything different for me than they would anyone else. I think that they take that stuff, you know, very seriously and will handle me any, you know, about the same way they handle anyone else. I have a personal responsibility to myself to be smart, make great decisions for myself. My health is number one. Everybody in this room, Rick, and everybody in the shop all, you know, put my health first and will always be responsible whatever situations we come across. I'm not going to take any unnecessary risks with my own health. So, you know, I think that as far as my own safety equipment, I feel real good about what we have. I did get my head scanned for new helmets, but that's just supposed to make them fit better, be more comfortable. I think Joe Logano got his head scanned for his Stilos last year, and he said it's the best fitting helmet he's ever had. At least that's what I heard. So they fit pretty good to begin with, but this might be a new level. Otherwise, you know, I'm just glad to have had the opportunity to get so much time between me and the events that I've had last year and the symptoms. And that's something that I think is really important for everyone going forward, is that they take the amount of time that they need, not just to get symptom free, but to allow themselves to heal and get stronger beyond the symptoms. So we still have, you know, a couple more months of, you know, of my brain being able to, you know, sturdy itself up. So I'm glad that we've had partners that were, you know, very supportive. Rick and everyone was super supportive. Everyone was very patient. We had, you know, Jeff and Alex jump in and carry the load, and the company worked really hard, and it's allowed me to have a lot of time to put this in the past. And in 2012, we took off 4 weeks, came back and won 7 races in the next 2 years. So I'm confident that I can have the same type of success going forward.
Speaking of patience, how long will you need to race or and feel comfortable before maybe starting to renew contract talks with Rick for beyond 2017?
We're probably going to revisit that before the season starts. I've told you guys that before we got sick, me and Rick had been sitting down and talking about our future and the extension and what we wanted to do, and all that stuff was starting to come together. We're going to revisit that, you know, here shortly. So that'll be that's definitely something on our list to get done.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We'll move next to Kenny Bruce at NASCAR.com.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, Dale, you mentioned earlier what everything felt like at by the end of the test yesterday, but I was wondering, were there any nerves or butterflies before you got into the car, and what do those first laps feel like?
I have nerves and butterflies every time I get in a race car, but I was certainly, you know, very anxious to get in the car. As soon as I got my feet on the ground in Darlington, I was in my suit and over there by the door wondering if the car was ready to go. I couldn't wait to get in there and just go ahead and get out there and see what it felt like, see what I felt like. And but, yeah, I was having a hard time sleeping the night before, but, yeah, I hadn't – it's been a long, long time since I drove a car. It's not – it's so rare to have that long of a break. You know, the off season doesn't seem like it's that long. Plus, you do a little bit of testing in the off season. But it was really odd. I was, but you know, as soon as I got out there, after about 3 laps, it came right back. You know, it came right back to me, and it wasn't like I had to sort of relearn to do it all over again. It felt very comfortable. The speed was there. Obviously, the track was green and had a ton of grip, and that made things a little bit simpler. But you know, you at Darlington, you run, you know, you you run right on the fence, and you kind of you don't have a lot of room for error. So that was a good challenge. You know, of all the tracks we could have went to, Darlington was a good choice to really put me through the test physically and mentally to understand where we're at. So I was a little bit nervous about that. You know, Darlington's a tough track, but yeah, the nerves were gone after about four laps, and then it was, you know, let's run some more, put some tires on and go some more.
Okay, thanks. And a question for Rick. How far down the road did the company go with making plans in case Dale wasn't able to return for 2017, or was that ever a consideration?
You know, you kind of might worry about that, but I think after talking to Dr. Collins, and he didn't see any reason he couldn't come back, and if we did it the right way, and you know, a lot of credit to Dale for just, you know, working hard outside of the car to get himself better and stronger, and you could just see him getting stronger every week, and then participating here and you know, with the teams, with the other drivers, and I just kind of refused to accept that he wasn't going to be in the car.
Okay, thank you.
We'll move next to Jordan Bianchi at SB Nation.
Yes, this is for both Rick and Dale. Wondering about the decision for Dale not to race in the Clash and to put Alex in the car for that weekend.
I'll take it.
When I had heard, I guess around Phoenix, we didn't really know what the rules were going to be as far as getting into the Clash, but I had heard some rumors that it was going to go back to pole winners, which is something I was super excited about because it brings back an identity to the race and makes it a bit of an exclusive club, and you know, it turns it into something you want to be in and strive to be in, which has been missing from the event for a long time. So as soon as Alex, I was at Phoenix standing on pit road on Friday when Alex got the pole, and my first reaction and the first words out of my mouth were that Alex gets to run in the Clash. If the rumors are true that it's pole winners, Alex is going to be available to run in a Clash. And I turned to Doug Ducard and said he should drive the 88. He earned it with the 88 guys. He's done a great job as a substitute driver. I really have a great friendship with Alex. And I didn't feel like that, you know, I felt like that if he was going to be in the race, he deserved to be in that car. My eligibility comes from winning the race in 2008, and I can't remember the last time I've won a pole. So for whatever reason, that was just my initial gut reaction, and I feel really it feels important to me that that's owed to Alex, and he deserves it. So it's a bit of a tip of a cap to not only his pole win and how well he did at Phoenix, but how he stepped in and did a great job every week for our guys. That's not an easy job to do. He helped maintain and improve the health and the performance of the team in a critical time. So we can go into Daytona this year confident that we're going to be competitive and we're not behind the eight ball or don't have any catching up to do. So I'm excited for Alex to get that opportunity, and I'm happy that it's with Greg and the guys that he's worked with over the last several races.
Next, we'll go to Jenna Fryer at Associated Press.
Hey, Dale. Are you still doing rehab exercises, or are you in a position where you're cleared and you're healthy?
I'm cleared and I'm healthy, but my doctor told me that you can always strengthen your vestibular system even if you are healthy 100%. I mean, this is from, you know, not patting my own back, but this is from my doctor's mouth. His comments are that I had to work really hard to get to be a human being again, to be normal, And then I had to work even harder to get to the level of being able to drive race cars and be a professional race car driver. The distance between, you know, just being myself and being a race car driver, that was going to be another handful of responsibilities and exercises and so forth. So I think from his advice was that if I wanted to continue to exercise and do these type of things, it would only continue to strengthen the system. And I'm all for that. I want to be as sharp and hell, maybe this is something I could have been doing all along. But there's a lot of visual and stuff on computers and that athletes do that don't even have concussions that I have at my fingertips today that I've been able to learn about through this process. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I can continue to do that will keep me sharp and you know, keep me ready to go.
In your opinion, do you think that others should be proactively doing some of these exercises?
I guess if they knew about these exercises and knew about the programs that are available, they may. They may do it, and maybe some drivers already are. But when I went to the eye doctor, he showed me some programs that are built specifically for athletes that sharpen hand-eye coordination and stuff like that. That isn't just for concussion patients, and it's something that I was part of my rehab, but it's something that I can continue to use beyond the rehab and beyond the recovery.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
We'll go next to David Scott at Charlotte Observer.
Hi, Dale. You've been so transparent and open about your concussion. You've almost become like a de facto spokesman maybe for pro athletes about it. Do you sense any kind of change in the culture, not only in racing but elsewhere? Thomas Davis of the Panthers yesterday said that he's now telling younger players, you know, not to mess with head injuries and how important it is to have them checked out. And do you sense any kind of change in the awareness? And was that something that maybe you wanted to tackle as you went through this in terms of talking about it?
Well, it's not something I intentionally wanted to, you know, spearhead, but I have seen the culture change tremendously. I think that just everyone in general, not just the athletes, but the public, the doctors, everyone, we're all learning something new every day. Mickey sees 24 patients a day, various types of injuries, various stages of injury and so forth, and every day he's learning something new. He sees a lot, you know, obviously he's seen a million people with the same things I had, but every day they learn something new. And every day, I think, as a patient, you learn something new. It's incredible the progress that's being made, but it's happening right now. It's happening right in front of us. It's being taken more seriously, and I think that's great. I obviously don't want anybody to go through the injury, much less the rehabilitation. But it's great for folks that do get injured, whether they're athletes or they're working a job somewhere or they're a kid in school, that they know that there's something that can be done. They know there's a place to go to get the help. One of the worst things is not knowing where to go to get the help, not knowing how to get the right help and get the proper treatment, because every concussion needs a different style of treatment to approach it. And I think that's something that people are becoming aware of, is that there's ways to get help so you can not only get healthy but return to the activity that you love to do, whatever it is that you want to get back to doing. So it's been great to have the opportunity to go to Pittsburgh to meet Mickey, to get to know Mickey and his whole staff and have exposure to everything they're doing and get to understand how much they've learned and what they're capable of doing. It's given me so much confidence to be able to come back to race again, knowing that those guys are there and they're able to patch you up and get you stronger. I wouldn't, you know, what they've been able to do is incredible for people like me. So they're doing that every day, dozens and dozens of folks.
Next, we'll go to Holly Kane at NASCAR.com.
Thank you, and congratulations, Dale, for going through all this and having it all work out for you. I guess my question I wanted to know is, how did you know that you were ready to get back in the car, and did you go into the test feeling this was just kind of what I have to do to show the doctors? When did you know I'm going to be okay, this is going to work?
The last few evaluations that I went to see Mickey about, Mickey and his team put you through a lot of physical stuff that's harder than most workouts that I've ever been a part of. And they put you through a lot of mental practice and mental programs, visual stuff. It's an all-day process to sort of just get evaluated, just to check, you know, check the systems. And how well, like, to be able to go get evaluated, say I went to get evaluated probably a dozen times or more through this whole process, and to be able to see tangible numbers each time we went improve was giving me a lot of confidence. And hearing my doctor tell me that I'm actually getting better than I was before we had the injury, and to hear his confidence in my ability to come back to race, that was giving, you know, those last few evaluations really, really got me fired up that I was healthy and back to my old self. And I felt like my old self. So, you know, you certainly, when you're injured and you're sick, you feel like a completely different person, and all your systems are all screwed up and nothing seems to be working right. But when you notice it, I mean, when your mind gets off just a little tiny bit, you will notice that so clearly. And when it sets itself right again, it's crystal clear. I wanted to do the test for me personally. It's great to be able to do it and have the doctor see you in the car, and having Dr. Petty there was great to be able to evaluate me as I was driving, because he's seen this situation and seen so many people in this situation. So he was a great person to have there to help reassure me that things were good. But I wanted to do the test. I needed that personal reassurance for myself. I'm going to get married on New Year's Eve and going to my honeymoon, and I got a lot of other stuff to do. Photo shoots, we're preparing for the season, taking pictures with all our sponsors and getting everything ready. But in the back of my mind, I haven't been in a race car yet. And what's that going to be like? And now I've got that box checked. Personally, I can go forward with a clear mind, with peace of mind, that I'm ready to go. So that test did more for me, I think, than anyone else.
Well, good, very good for you. And Rick, if I could just ask you, you know, how important, you mentioned this, but I mean, how important is it that you were able to give Dale as much time as he needed, that there was no rush, there's not a let's go see so-and-so because they'll go on and clear you or anything like that? How important was it to you to give him all the necessary time?
Well, first of all, we care about him as a friend and a person, and, you know, that's first. And you know, just seeing him healthy and himself, rather than wanting to try to rush him back in the car. And I think talking to the doctor, you know, I didn't know that you just sit out, do nothing, you'd be okay. And by Dale going to the right person and working him his butt off, you know, it's made him stronger. But I there's never a doubt. I really want to thank all our sponsors. They did not, every single sponsor we had said his health is priority one. You know, we don't want him in the car until he's ready and we're okay. And everybody was good with him sitting out. Once we weren't going to be in the chase, it just didn't make any sense because we wanted him for the long term. And, you know, it just, it's a tough decision to pull the plug on a year, because you you didn't really know that maybe he would be healed up enough to come back with a few races left. But everybody, we were very fortunate with our sponsors that they put his health first. And we just, that was never a question. And, you know, just to watch him and watch him down the test. And I wasn't there, but just talking to the crew, excited. You know, everybody was excited. Everybody's fired up. It's a great Christmas present for our company and the fans.
Great. Thank you so much.
I want to thank Todd Bigsby, Brooks Storr, for coming on tonight from South Florida. Todd, appreciate you, bud. I want to thank my daughter and wife, Suzanne, for manning the phone lines tonight. And we will be back live from Vega Nation next Tuesday night at 7 Eastern, 6 Central. I'm Tim Despain. See ya!
My t-shirt in the hall, like a needle finds a groove. Baby, we'll remember what to do to drown out every distraction. It's time we made it happen. Strip it down, strip it down, back to you and me, like it used to be when it was an old back road with an old school beat, cowboy boots by your little. Let it out, tell me right now, everything I need in them white cotton sheets, dirty dance me slow in the summertime heat, feel my belt turn loose from these old blue jeans, we both know that we lost it somehow, let's get it found, strip it down, down. I wanna drop the cell phone now, let it shatter on the ground. They ain't holding nothing, these two hands, until they're holding you again. Oh, strip it down, back to you and me, like it used to be, when it was an old back road with an old school beat, cowboy boots by your little bare feet. Let it out. Dirty dance me slow in the summertime. Feel my belt turn loose from these old blue jeans. We both know that we lost it somehow. Let's get it found. Strip it down, down, down. Strip it down, down, down.
Daytona International Speedway,
Redefined Everything 30. 30-second stereo radio, HISC 0100.
The Daytona 500. It's the race that defines legends. And as the world's only motorsports stadium, Daytona International Speedway is the place that redefines what a race can be. You can experience it all and witness the next career-defining NASCAR moment at the Great American Race. But hurry, the 2016 race sold out, so don't miss out in 2017. The Daytona 500, Sunday, February 26th. Guarantee your seats at 1-800-PIT-SHOP or Daytona500.com.